Today our scripture comes from Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I give thanks, Betsy, for reading our scripture this morning. Did a great job. And I want to add my welcome to all of you here this morning on this kind of dreary, rainy day. So glad you chose to be here with us as worship. And for those of you online as well, as we have worshiped together, we have been so blessed already by the beautiful music. I want to thank our flautist and our worship band who did such an awesome job this morning. Yes. What a special treat. I always love the Christmas music. It's great to do that together. And as we have heard the reading of God's word now, we seek to understand its meaning for our life. We know that is the work of God's Holy Spirit within us. So let us ask God's Spirit to help us with that. Gracious God, we just pause and we ask for your Spirit to be made known to us through your word. And that you would be at work within us, opening our minds and our hearts and our very souls to be transformed by the power of your word. That we will be encouraged this day in our living and in our discipleship of following you. I pray, God, that you will enable me to proclaim your word in a way that brings glory to you, God, and to you alone. And that we will all be drawn closer to you in our walk with you. These things I pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, Christmas is kind of a big deal in Finland. They have a tradition that they do every year. In fact, it's been happening every year since the early 1300s. So it's been going on for almost 700 years. It is called the Declaration of the Christmas Peace. And each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Declaration of Christmas is made in the city of Turku. And a proclamation is made by one of the city officials who goes to the balcony of the great historic place you see there. That's the picture of it. They go to the balcony of this historic mansion in the center of the old great square. And a declaration is made that serves kind of as a way to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, but it's also a way of reminding people that the Christmas peace has started. That's a big deal there. And that they are to spend the holidays in harmony and peace with one another. And they even go as far as to threaten the offenders with harsh punishments if they don't keep the peace. Here's an example of what is typically proclaimed on that day. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all, by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal and improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all the inhabitants of the city. So you don't want to mess with the Finns when it comes to their Christmas peace, you know, or you would be dealt with harshly. I mean, I thought that when I heard that, I said, that's a great tradition. In fact, I think we ought to take up the tradition here in the States, especially after all we've seen this past year. But what a great way to usher in Christmas with reminding ourselves of Christ's coming and the peace that he brings to all the world. Well, today we're continuing our Advent journey where we're seeking to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas. I remind you that the word Advent, it literally means coming or arrival. And so it's a season that has been characterized by waiting, anticipation, longing, and preparation, and expectation. But it's much more than just a time of anticipating and waiting for what's going to be under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. Advent is a time of digging deeply into what the birth of Jesus Christ really means for us. That's really what it's about. So each week we are focusing on a different attribute of God that is represented in the coming of Jesus Christ. And each of these attributes that we're focusing on represents what God offers us in the birth and the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. But I think it also, these attributes have a way of reminding us of what we're really longing for the most in our world, especially now. That is hope, peace, love, and joy. As I said last week, if there's ever been a year that we need Christmas, it is this year. During the season of Advent, we are seeking to rediscover what Christmas really means to us. And so last week, we began by looking at God's gift of hope that's given to us on Christmas. This Sunday, we're seeking to rediscover God's gift of peace. I love the song that was just played about, you know, peace, how we long for God's peace. And, you know, one of the great and needed messages of the Christmas season is all about God's peace that he gives to us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when I think about peace, I can't help to think about those who embodied peace perhaps the most being the shepherds. Peace in the Christmas story just reminds me of the shepherds, those unlikely recipients of God's message of peace. For we read in our passage this morning, Luke tells us there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." So here you have God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce it. I mean, suddenly in the middle of a dark, ordinary night on the hillside of Bethlehem, you have this angel that appears in the sky. And then the sky is filled with angels, probably singing as they declare, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on peace on earth to all." I just can't imagine how magnificent or how bright or how terrifying and yet how glorious of a sight that was to see. Of course, the audience, to hear this great announcement and this amazing angelic show that was put on, had to be the most important VIPs of the world, right? It had to be the rich and the famous, the kings and the queens, the powerful, the movers and the shakers, right? Well, you all know the story. That's not how it happened at all. God's announcement of the peace of this world came to shepherds, lowly shepherds, these ordinary, average Joe, night shift animal tenders, the most unexpected, unlikely recipients of all. Yet for those of us who are familiar with the Christmas story, we know that this is just another example. It's just another scene in how God flips the script on what we as human beings would expect and what we would do if it was up to us to save the world. We would have done it quite differently. Yet this whole experience, I think, leaves us questioning why. Why did God send his message of his son being born in this world to lowly shepherds? Why shepherds? Well, perhaps it's because the shepherds have a way of tying up several biblical threads that are going on in the Bible. I mean, first of all, the shepherds remind us of the great patriarchs of Israel. You have, first of all, like Abraham. You know, he was the original recipient of the covenant of God, that God was going to bless through all the nations through him and his descendants. Well, Abraham was a shepherd. And then his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, were shepherds. And then you have David, who ended up being the great King David of Israel. He began as a shepherd boy. And, of course, the shepherds fit right into this process of how the birth of Jesus was announced. It began with the humble carpenter and the peasant girl who were called to be the parents of God's own son. And the birth itself takes place in a lowly manger, stable, surrounded by animals and shepherds. These were the have-nots of society. The example of how God raises up and uses the humble to turn the world as we know it on its head. As Mary said, he has brought down the powerful and he has lifted up the lowly. I mean, those who were considered to be the most holy by the world in that day weren't even given a place to kneel at the stable. And then I think these shepherds also signify Jesus' future ministry. We all know how, you know, sheep are considered to be very important animals in the Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice that Jews made every year to remind themselves of the original Passover, where God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt and called them forth to be his own people. That lamb's blood served as the atonement for their sins. The price, the cost that had to be paid in order to realign and rebuild their lives and restore their person's life to God in a right relationship. But we all know that Jesus came into this world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world once and for all. I mean, he was the ultimate sacrifice and payment for our sins. His death did away with the need to have such animal sacrifices or of Passover lambs anymore. His resurrection made it possible for us to be restored once and for all fully in a right relationship with God. His life made it possible for us to experience peace, eternal peace. And all of these things we celebrate today in this sacrament of Holy Communion. And I think all of these reasons that I've mentioned are reasons why God sent his angelic messengers to announce the coming of the Messiah to these lowly shepherds. It certainly reminds us that God's favor is not based on human expectation or human standards. Rather, his favor is on those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and those who are willing to hear the message of hope and peace, love and joy that Jesus brings to our world. The shepherds serve to remind us that the peace that comes from God is not based on occupation or class or position, but rather it's based upon God's purpose and God's design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. I think the shepherds remind us of all these things. But I also think the shepherds lead us into several insights into where we intersect with God's peace. It helps us to see how our lives intersect with God's peace. And the first place I think we see that is the shepherd's story shows us how peace often comes in the midst of storms. You ever notice that? Peace comes in the midst of our storms. I think all of us know what it's like to go through a hurricane. If you don't know what that's like, then you ain't from here. around this part, because we have had more than our share here lately of hurricanes. But have you ever experienced what it's like to be in the eye of a hurricane? I got to experience this one time in my life, and it's just an eerie experience. All of a sudden, in the midst of all of the melee and the destruction that's going on, the winds cease. The rain stop. And there is a pause in the chaos. Of course, it's temporary. I mean, it is long before the winds start to howl around you again, but this time they come from the opposite direction. But there is a place of peace in the middle of the storm. Let me ask you a question. How is your Christmas season going this year? How does your Christmas season typically go? I think most of us, during this time of year, we use words like hectic, stressful, busy, frantic. Maybe we could use those words to describe this whole past year, right? But maybe it's an overloaded schedule that is robbing you of your peace this Christmas. Or maybe it's something much more. Maybe it is relational conflict. Maybe it's something like pressure at work, or even the loss of a job. Maybe it's an illness. Grief. I mean, we have plenty of things we can choose from this year, right? For many people, right now, peace seems like a long way off. It's a good idea. It's a nice thought for the holidays. And it's something we desperately long for. But it just seems to be a long ways off. We're just not feeling it this year. If that's where you find yourself today, then I want to encourage you to remember that when the storms of life threaten to rob you of your peace and your hope and your joy in life, then you need to remember that that's where Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, you can experience peace in the midst of the storm. Because that's where Jesus is for us, right in the middle, right in the midst of the storm. I mean, that's where the child was born. Right in the midst of the chaos that was going on in that time. And this is where the angels show up. Right in the middle of Israel's dark night of Roman oppression. After centuries of wondering and suffering and crying out, "Where are you, O God?" That's where God shows up. He shows up in the middle of a world that's been turned upside down for a young Jewish couple who find themselves in the middle of cosmic events that they can't even begin to understand. Having to experience childbirth at, far away from home without the people and the women who would have normally been there to help and to guide Mary through that painful process. And then being first-time parents with the added stress and fear and responsibility of having to parent God's Son, the Messiah. I mean, we think it's hard for us to be parents today. Can you imagine that? Yet in the midst of all those circumstances, right in the midst of all those struggles, God shows up. And that's where God shows up for us as well. Right in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our confusion, right in the midst, in the center of our grief and our crying out and our uncertainty and our loss, God shows up. And He does. By saying to us, "Do not be afraid." Just like He said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. For I bring you good news of great joy. God Emmanuel is with you. Always." Listen, I don't know what struggles you may be going through in your life. But God knows. And God is there. He's there to be with you. To bring peace in the midst of your storm. A peace that will calm your heart. And a peace that will overcome. It will defy your circumstances. And you may say to yourself, "Well, that sounds all nice and good, preacher. It sounds nice, but you just don't know what I'm going through." And you're right. I don't. But the good news of Christmas is that there is a peace that goes deeper than whatever you're going through. A peace that can defy your circumstances. Though it may be hard for you to see it right now, hard for you to experience it, God's peace is real. God's peace is healing. It can guard your heart from continuing wounds. It can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. The Apostle Paul describes it like this. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul reminds us that whatever it is we're going through in our life, the process of finding peace always begins by turning to God. It begins when we bring our hurts and our fears and our questions and our whys and our pain and our struggles to God. As Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I don't pretend to understand it all, but what I do know is that there is a power in prayer. And there is a transformation that grows out of gratitude. It's not the power of just, you know, trying to get what you want from God or to try to get God to see things your way. I mean, you can try that. You can say that and God's going to listen to you. But when we pray, presenting our requests to God, we are reminded that God is with us. And when we focus on gratitude and thanksgiving instead of the storms that are going on around us, we are reminded of what is most important. Our perspective changes. And we experience a sense of peace that just surpasses all understanding. We are able to acknowledge and accept, you know, that, you know, I just know that God's got this. I know that I can trust in God because God is enough. You see, it all comes back to a person. Peace is a person, for peace is found in Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Ephesians, "For he is our peace." Long before Jesus came to this earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. He said, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore." Now you can hear the political overtones in this passage, and you can understand why the Jews who wanted their political freedom and independence were so eager to look for a political king and an earthly king. But we know that wasn't God's plan. God had something much bigger in mind than that. God was sending his son to this world who would eventually establish his kingdom. To those who were most in need, to those who were willing to listen, a child had been born, a son had been given, who brings the power and the rule of his peace within our personal lives. For Jesus is the bringer of peace between us and God. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God. He is the giver of abundant life here on this earth and the promise of eternal life in the future. He is the embodiment of God's peace. So today, I want to encourage you to look for the Prince of Peace. Even though the winds may be blowing and the storm may be swirling around you, I want to encourage us all to look for him and to worship him, just like the shepherds did, right there as they were surrounded by the darkness. In these days of great uncertainty, I invite you to come to him, him who is the Prince of Peace, who is always with us no matter what, and who gives us a peace surpasses all understanding.